and appreciate that. There was a fella who went to Harvard, and he graduated from there through the ROTC in World War II, or right before, during World War II. And they took him, and here he was, a lieutenant, all the badges, all the little shiny things on him. He was ready to go. So he goes into the men. They give him a job to do. He's got certain men that he needs to go in and talk to about getting an insurance policy. The government at that time would give each soldier, if they signed up for it, their families $1,000 if they died during the war. And so he goes in and explains all this to them, and the guys just stand there. They're not saying a word. And he said, well, maybe I didn't explain it right. So he goes through it again, and he explains it again to them. They still don't get it. By then, he's getting a little upset that these guys are not understanding what he's saying. And finally, one of the sergeant comes over and says, may I present this to the men? And he, okay, you do it. And the sergeant got up and said, okay, the federal government is going to give every one of you $1,000 if you go into war and you get shot in the head. The federal government is going to give everybody $1,000. Now, let me tell you something. Who do you think they're going to send on those front lines up there if you don't sign up for that? And then several of those soldiers thought for just a little bit and said, wait a minute. If they got to pay $1,000, they're not going to send those guys that they got to pay $1,000 on up there. They're going to send the other guys that didn't sign up. Every one of them signed up for it. And sometimes it's just explaining things in the right way so that people will understand it. We tried to get a program started last year to encourage every one of the men to sign up for something. And you were good about doing that. And I appreciate that. But maybe we just didn't convey the idea that we need to use those guys. And we need to use every one of them. People signed up for it. And Mark, I think he's got a list, and he's going to give that list back out to the ones that are in charge of that. Put those people that signed up for those things, put their names on that list. And I know what everybody's thinking. Man, they're not going to do it, and I'm going to have to run and grab somebody up. Well, get Mark if you need it. He said, I didn't volunteer for that. I know it's a lot of trouble to do that sometimes, but we need to use everybody in the church. Amen. I'm glad y'all said that. We do. And we've got them. They've signed up to do it. So let's use those people in announcements, in waiting on the Lord's table and doing all this. And Mark said, well, do I need to type up the thing that I did for the women? I said, the women will work 50 times more than the men will, so just let their list alone. But give that other list back out. So those that are in charge, use those people. And if you are in charge, if you are called on to do the announcements or lead the singing or do a prayer or whatever you're supposed to do, wait on the Lord's table, let me tell you something. If you can't be here any other time, be here that week. You need to be here for that. And help these fellas out. It's kind of rough to have to go around and get up people on Sunday morning because the song leader didn't show up or something. And the song leaders are usually good about calling and getting something lined up on that. They do pretty good. But we need to use people in the church. We need to do that. I know it's a little hard to do that sometimes, but we got to do that. And if you signed up for something and they're going to come and say, hey, you know, Charles, you got announcements. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be here and I'm going to do them. That's my job. And I'm going to do my job. I'm going to do what I need to. And that's important. So remember that. For those that are signing up people and for those that are, maybe we just didn't make it clear. That may be my fault. So we're going to make it, we got it clear now, okay? So let's use these guys. That's what we want to do. 2011, did you ever think you'd live this long? Did you ever think that you would live and have all the things that you have right now? I mean, I'm a blessed fella. Did you know that? I really am. Linda tells me, you're blessed, but she usually says, because you've got me. And I believe that too. But the Lord has blessed us so very much in 2010. I know, you know, job market is kind of bad. Money's not the best in the world. But let me tell you something, we're living in the greatest place we could ever be. We're a part of the body of Christ, which that just takes care of everything else. And it makes no difference if the economy goes. It makes no difference if the country goes. It makes no difference what happens. If we are in the Lord, things are right with us. And that's the most important thing. That's the greatest thing. And we need to realize that. All right, now, look at this. We're going to talk about, anybody know what we're going to talk about this morning? Go ahead. Resolutions. That's when you become a preacher, that's the first thing you learn. When it comes the first of the year, talk about resolutions. Well, we're going to talk about those. There is a thing on the internet. It's called 43things.com. You might want to look at it sometime. And what it does is it goes back over some of the years and kind of keeps a record of those things that everybody said that they were going to resolve to do. And one of the great ones was, I'm resolved to lose weight. Well, did we do it? Did we lose weight? Some are going, yeah. Some of us are going, I'm not saying a word about that one. I'm going to let that one alone. We make great resolutions, and sometimes we don't keep those. In 2009, one of the resolutions was to lose weight. But in 2009 also, they had a list of things. I want to be happy. I want to fall in love. I want to get a job, and I want to travel. Now, I honestly hadn't figured out. If you got a job, can you travel? Leave off the job and just travel, okay? You say, I can't travel, I don't have any money. Okay. See, some of these things may be unrealistic that we have to have. In, 2007, the number one thing that people wanted to do was to get a tattoo. Did you get yours? I don't want to see it, okay? To get a tattoo. You know, that was the only year that it put in that list. I guess those people, everybody got the tattoo that they wanted, or they figured out those things hurt, and they don't want to get another one. So they discounted those things now. I don't need one, don't have one, and I'm getting so old, I don't know what it would look like in a couple of years anyhow. So I'm not going to fool with that. I'm not going to do that. But these resolutions that we make sometimes. So if you want to look at this 43things.com and you can see some of the resolutions that are made over the years and look at some of those. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to talk about one resolution today. Just one. And that's all it is. You say, oh man, maybe this will be a short sermon. Hope so. Don't guarantee anything. Just one resolution. That's all we're going to have. That's all I want you to make this year. It will not appear on the computer program that we talked about, 43things.com. It will not appear probably in the newspaper, but it is one that we need to have. And that is, very simply, that we know Christ. Knowing Christ more. Christ is to be a part of our lives, and we're to know more about Him. Now, we're talking in our Bible classes about spiritual growth. We're talking in our Bible classes about maturing in the faith, about knowing Christ more. And it's not just something for Bible class, but it's something for life. We need to know those things. We need to be encouraged in that. I'm telling you, the more you know about Jesus Christ, the more you're going to love Him. The more you're going to love Him. And we need to have that knowledge. It needs to be a part of our lives so that we can have that. And part of what Paul was talking to the Philippians about was about this important thing. Turn over to Philippians 3 if you would. In Philippians 3, he's trying to help us to see some of these things, and he wants us to know this. He wants us to understand this. Look at verses 10 and 11 if you would. Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11. That, one of the purposes of what he's trying to say here, that I may know Him, that I might know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He said, what I want to do is I want to encourage all of you at Philippi to have this. I want to encourage you to be those people that you know Christ and that you know the power of His resurrection, what that great power was, and all that He has done for us, and the fellowship that we have. The fellowship we have with God is very important, but the fellowship we have with each other. And so what he's doing is kind of summing up here what these people at Philippi need. Well, a part of the problem was there were a group of people there that were saying, you've got to go back and obey the old law. You've got to go back, and it's really according to what you have done, what you have accomplished, is what really makes you a Christian. And let me tell you something. We believe that today. Many people do. I've had people say, listen, I've never missed a service in 30 years. That's great. But do you know Jesus Christ? Well, I was baptized, but do you know Jesus Christ? That's the important thing. Do we really know the Lord? And if we know the Lord, that's going to change our lives. Now, am I saying that attendance is not necessary, not important? No, that's something you've got to do. That's something that you get out of knowing Jesus Christ. That's something you receive because you know Him, because you know what He wants, and you know what He desires. All right, now look at this. One goal, that's all I want you to do, just one goal for this year. And I want you to see how important it is that we have that goal. First of all, we can't put confidence in the flesh. Now, these people, especially the Jewish people, and also any nation, put a confidence in the flesh, in who they are. Now, I tell you, sometimes they call us ugly Americans in foreign countries because when we go, we act like Americans wherever we are. And I don't know what they expect us to do. We are, so we act that way. But what we've got to do is to realize what we do shows who we are. But what we've got to understand, what we've got to see, and what Paul is trying to get these people at Philippi to see is that it's not just based on who you are and what you can do, but it's based on the knowledge that you have of Jesus Christ, because that changes us. That changes us and makes us different kind of people. We can be people that we can, you know, we can be a member of the church. We can attend every service. We can do all these things. But if we don't know Jesus Christ, it makes it kind of hollow. It doesn't make it as wonderful as it needs to be. Because you see, I've had people say, well, do I have to attend the worship service? Why would anybody say that? Why would anybody ask the question, do I have to attend the worship service? I'm going to tell you the reason why. They don't know the Lord. They don't know the Lord. Well, why have I got to give up this sin in my life? Why have I got to say to this body that wants whatever this is, you can't do it. I've heard people say, oh, the Lord expects me to be happy. No, the Lord expects you to be His servant. He expects you to be obedient to it. He expects you to know Him. And when we know Him, it's going to change everything about it. We're not going to look at the Lord's Supper we're not going to look at it in an old way. We're going to look at it in a new way. People talk about us in the church and taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And they say, after a while, it just loses its meaning. It can. But it can be something as the Lord intended for it to be, something that revives us every time we take it. Because we're drawn closer to the Lord. It causes us to think about what the Lord did there, the sacrifice that He made for us, and it draws us closer to the Lord, and it draws us closer to each other. That's what Paul was talking to the people about at Corinth about. It's about drawing themselves closer to God and being more a part of God. What in your life can you really look at and say, this is the reason I have the right to be saved? This is the reason I have the right to be saved. What can we look at and say, this is the one thing? The only thing we can is that Jesus Christ is our Lord. He's our Lord. Because of that, we'll be willing to do whatever we've got to do. We'll be willing to sacrifice whatever we've got to sacrifice. Look at verses 3 and 4, if you will. Now, here, Paul is answering the question that these people have about about the deeds that they have, about who they are, about their heritage and all. Listen to what he says here. For we are the circumcision. Those of us that are Christians are those that are God's saved people. Not just the physical thing of circumcision. That's what the Jews were into. And that's for a period of time what they were forcing people who were coming and becoming a part of the church that weren't of the Hebrew race or the Jewish race. They were forcing them to do that. But look at this. He said, we are those people that are of the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. We are those that worship God according to what that Holy Spirit has given us. We're the ones that do that. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He said, it's not a... Many people today do not have a confidence in their Lord enough so that they will be those people that will give their lives for Him. We'll give a little bit, but He wants it all. And so here, He's saying here, though I also might have a confidence, He said, if you want to brag about what all works you could do, what all things you could do, I could brag about that. And then He goes through and He talks about some of those things. Listen to what He says here. Starting in verse 5, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was one who I did everything exactly right, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. That's the top one. That's the greatest bunch. Then verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. Remember the young man that came to Jesus on one occasion, and the young man said to Jesus, you know, I want to know what to do to become a part of the kingdom. Jesus said, do this, this, and this. He said, I'm already doing all those things. Jesus looked at him and said, there's one thing that you lack. What you've got to do is to give everything you have to the Lord. Take all that money you have and give it away. Give it to the poor. And come and follow me. What happened to the young man? He loved his money more than he loved his Lord. And sometimes we don't come to that point, that test in our lives like that, to where we've got to decide, I'm going to serve God or I'm not going to serve God. I'm going to do the will of God or I'm not going to do the will of God. Where we stay sometime is in this kind of a thing of, well, I like it, but I don't want to really give it all. I like it, but I really hadn't sacrificed it all. I like it. And it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of knowing Jesus Christ more. It's a matter of when you know Him, you're going to follow His will. We're not saved by our works. We're saved to work. We're saved because we're there to show forth in our lives that we really believe that. We're going to show that because of the way we live our lives, because of the way we conduct ourselves. Paul here is trying to get this across to these people so that they'll have a confidence in the Lord, so that they'll have a trust in the Lord. We talked in the Bible class this morning. If you missed that, you missed a good lesson. I don't care if I did teach you. It was good to look at virtue, that courage to be able to go on. And we need to have that. We've got to have that. Paul here is wanting these people to understand that. And listen, look at this. We've got to have a knowledge of Christ, and that will help us to gain Christ. That'll help us to have a confidence in what in the decision that we made. You see, in this country, our Christianity may not be tested. Well, it may be tested more nowadays than it was a while back, and it may be tested even more in the future. But you don't know how strong your commitment to Christ is until you face opposition, until you face suffering. And many of you have faced that before. And you may face it again. I don't know. Suffering's not the worst thing in the world. Sometimes suffering helps us to prioritize the things that are the most important. To look at the things that are really, really necessary. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying, it doesn't make any difference if you're a Hebrew or if you're a Gentile. That makes no difference at all. The difference is, are you the person that you love Jesus Christ, you know about Him, and you're going to serve Him no matter what happens to you, no matter what is done? You're going to continue to do the will of Christ. You're going to continue to follow Him no matter what you're trying to do. Paul said, I could talk about my impressive credentials. I could talk about what I am, but he said, that's not it. It doesn't make any difference who you are. It doesn't make any difference if you can baptize 1,000 people or one person or what makes a difference is the Lord there. Do you really believe in Him? Do you really trust in Him? Because of that, you will talk to other people about the gospel. You will try to help other people. And we shouldn't judge by works. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying, if you want to brag about what you can do, look at what I can do. I've heard people in the church, I was at every service for 30 years. Okay, that's great. Do you know the Lord? This is the things that we've got to do. We've got to come back and know who the Lord is and what the Lord is trying to do for us. Knowledge in Christ is the way to conform our life. It helps us to change our life because we know the Lord. We understand what He's done. Now, Brian here this morning was showing us about marking the things in the Bible. There's a little thing there. There's about 35 back there. We can print any amount that we need. Take that and read it, but study. Look for Jesus Christ throughout the Bible. Let me tell you something. You see Him all the way through it. And know what God did through him. Know what God wanted for him. That's what Paul's trying to tell the people at Philippi. He's saying, don't get caught up over here in who you are. Get caught up in who Jesus Christ is. And then you will work and you will serve and you will do everything that you need to do. You'll be at the worship services. You will observe the Lord's Supper. You'll do all those things. Why? Well, have I got to? That's not a matter of got to. It's a matter of that's what you get to do. Because you love the Lord, you get to do that. And the things we do to hold up His name, when we speak to other people about Jesus Christ, what we do when we say those things and do those things, and it may be said in all humility, but we're letting people know about Jesus Christ and know what He's done for us. What's the result of knowledge? What's the result of this knowledge of Jesus Christ? In verse 8, it says that the knowledge of Christ is the way to gain Christ. The knowledge of Christ is the way to gain Christ. If people don't know about Him, they can't appreciate Him. And the more you know about Him, the more you're going to appreciate Him and what He did for you and what He's doing for you right now. You see, Jesus didn't just die on the cross and He sat down somewhere in heaven and He's waiting until the end, but He's with us today. He's here as we worship Him. He's here when you're in your car and you're serving Him. Maybe you're praying. The only thing, keep your eyes open if you're driving while you're praying, okay? Remember that. But let the Lord know how much you appreciate Him. And we appreciate Him because we see and we know what He's done. In verses 10 and 11, it says, that you may know Him. That's a part of what we're trying to do. And that's what Paul was trying to get the people at Philippi to see, is listen, look at Jesus Christ. Don't look at your heritage. Don't look at what you do, but look at Jesus Christ and let Him be the one that helps you to see the things to do. Have you ever done a job that you really did not want to do? I mean, you didn't want to do it at all. It makes it harder. It makes it just, it seemed like it's forever. Well, what about something you wanted to do? Something you really had a desire to do? Maybe there was somewhere where you were going to go. You were going to go to the theater to see a show, or you were waiting on a date for this boy or this girl, and you were going to, and the time, the clock just seems to kind of just stop if you're waiting. That's a part of the joy of what we've got as Christians. As we gather together and we worship God, we have that fellowship with Him. We've had that. To know Christ in this year, that's all. Listen, there's only one resolution you got to do this year. That's to know Jesus Christ more. Now, you can know Him by coming to the Bible classes. You can know Him by doing this list over here of reading those scriptures. You can know Him, and that's what we got to try to do. Is help people to know Jesus Christ more. And we've got to know Him more. Because if we know Him more, we're going to love Him in a greater way. We got to know people more. But we got to know Jesus Christ more than anything else. Paul said to these to the Philippians, he said, I want you to understand how much I care for God, how much I got. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He's not saying, I can, even though I know Christ, even though I depend on Him, I don't look at myself as though I've apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I push toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything, you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. No miracle, just studying the Word of God, believing in it, and doing it. And it bolsters our faith to where we're able to go on out and to do those things that need to be done. Let me tell you something. 2011 is a great year for Tanner. You believe that? Who more than believes that than said amen to that one? It is, if we want it to be. If we want it just to be a year like the rest of the years, that's exactly what it's going to be. Let me ask you something. In 2012, when 2011 is over, and in 2012 you look back, do you see yourself as somebody who has a greater faith in God and a greater dependence upon God? Do you look back at 2010 and you see in 2010, you know, in 2010, I've got a greater faith in God. I got a greater trust in God. I hope you can do that. And the way to do that is to know Jesus Christ more. And if you know Him more, you're going to love Him more. And if you love Him more, you're going to do more of His will. And you're going to do it in a happy way. And you're going to enjoy it. And it's going to be something that you just can't, you just can't wait to tell other people about it and how wonderful it is. How more spiritual are you going to be next year? We got to look at ourselves and judge that before the time when the Lord judges that. Please, if you're here and you're a Christian and you want to repent of sins, we want to pray with you and for you. We're no better than you are. I guarantee you, I can tell you that without anything. That's true. But the Bible says we can pray for each other, and that's what we want to do. If you're not a Christian, I want to plead with you, know Jesus Christ more. Those people in the first century heard about Him, obeyed Him, and some of those people had to suffer in many, many ways to follow Him. But they remained faithful. We need to know enough to believe in Jesus Christ and believe in Him enough to serve Him and to do His will. So we sing the invitation. And what we're doing here is we're going to sing a song to encourage every one of us to look at our lives.